Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, November 12th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Illinois Breaks COVID Records 2 Days Running. Bloomington Normal Testing Also Hits Record. Doctor Says Worst Yet to Come. By Paul Sweech. Bloomington. For the second day in a row, Illinois reported a new single-day record high for COVID-19 cases Wednesday. It also reported 145 new deaths, including 8 in Pantograph area counties. Testing is on the rise, too. The McLean County Fairgrounds site, operated by Reditus Laboratories, saw 1,244 people tested Tuesday, a new single-day record, said Reditus CEO Dr. Aaron Rossi. It seems like every day we're breaking records, Rossi told the Pantograph. Another 1,081 people were tested Wednesday. Illinois Department of Public Health reported 12,657 new coronavirus cases Wednesday, eclipsing the record of 12,623 set the day before. I think the worst is yet to come. That's the scary part, Rossi said. The additional COVID-related deaths reported Wednesday included a McLean County man in his 70s and a woman in her 80s, a Livingston County man in his 70s and a woman in her 80s, a Tazewell County man in his 70s and a woman in her 80s, a Ford County woman in her 70s and a man in his 90s. State and county health officials report COVID numbers at different times. Determining new county totals for COVID-related deaths was difficult in some areas Wednesday, as some local health departments, including McLean, Livingston, and Ford, did not report numbers because of Veterans Day. LaSalle County Health Department on Wednesday reported the death of a man in his 90s, bringing that county's fatality total to 87. State health officials reported the death of a resident of the Illinois Veterans Home, LaSalle, but the county health department declined to confirm whether that was the same person. LaSalle County also reported 149 new COVID cases, bringing its case total to 4,035. DeWitt County's COVID numbers have increased to 477 cases and 8 deaths, according to county health officials. Piatt County reported a total of 443 cases and 5 deaths. Remember, cases are spiking locally, statewide, and nationwide, said David Remmert, administrator of DeWitt Piatt Bi-County Health Department. He advised people to refrain from attending and hosting social gatherings, wash their hands frequently, stay 6 feet away from people outside their household, and wear a mask in public. Livingston County Health Department reported on Tuesday night 109 new cases, including 2 inmates of Pontiac Correctional Center, to bring that county's case total up to 1,262. That county also reported the death of a man in his 70s. On Wednesday, Tazewell County's case total increased to 4,076, and Woodford's rose to 1,115. Statewide, the new cases reported Wednesday brought the total COVID case count to 523,840, and the death count to 10,434. The statewide 7-day positivity rate for cases as a percent of tests was 12.4%, compared with 11.4% on Monday. As of Tuesday night, 5,042 people in Illinois were hospitalized with COVID, with 951 in intensive care and 404 on ventilators, IDPH said. Those numbers have been increasing for the past several days. State health officials suggested that people work from home if possible, participate only in essential activities, and limit travel and gatherings. Demand at the McLean County Fairgrounds testing site continues to grow. On Wednesday afternoon, a line of cars extended onto Interstate Drive. Rossi said traffic backed up a couple blocks farther onto Market Street at one point Tuesday. He said Redditus has been able to keep up because the company has hired more staff and more people are pre-registering for testing at www.testdirectly.com/McLean. The increase in people being tested began 2 to 3 weeks ago and is happening at all testing sites in Illinois, Rossi said. Among those at the Bloomington testing site were Jacob Elteridge, 27, and DJ Olker, 25. Both men of Bloomington work at Country Financial, upgrading employees' computers, a position that means they interact frequently with others. People bring their computers to us, Elteridge said. We have face-to-face time with people every day. We want to make sure we're not spreading stuff. We come into contact with 15 to 20 people a night, Olker said. Any one of them could be positive. We would like to know that as soon as possible. Elteridge and Olker were both wearing masks and said they disinfect computer keyboards and use hand sanitizer. I want to make sure I can continue to live my life and see my parents and make sure I'm not passing something to others, Elteridge said. Both men said they've been tested at the fairground site 10 times over the past several months, and the lines have gotten longer recently. On Wednesday, they waited in line for about 90 minutes. It's been harder recently because the lines have been longer, Elteridge said. It sucks for us because I don't want to spend our lunch break in line. Olker added, it's obviously a difficult situation. There is no good solution. An average of 12,000 tests are being processed each day at the Redditus lab in Pekin, which handles the tests that come from several sites, Rossi said. That's double the numbers of 3 weeks ago. Positivity rates also have increased to 15 to 16%, compared with about 6% 3 weeks ago, he said. Rossi said colder weather is making it more difficult for people to socially distance, and some people aren't wearing masks. I think people are over the whole virus thing, Rossi said. That's what concerns me. When the virus spreads, it's very contagious, Rossi said. It's hard to get under control. People should be wearing a mask and taking all the precautions that are necessary. And a sidebar tells us that at Illinois State University, 1,655 student COVID tests were administered in the past week, with 136 positive for the virus for a positivity rate of 8.2%. There were 18,234 student COVID tests since August 17th, with 1,658 positive for the virus for a positivity rate of 9.1%. 1,487 students have recovered from the virus. How to get tested? Where? McLean County Fairgrounds, 1106 Interstate Drive, Bloomington. When? 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, except holidays. What you need? To be able to complete a nasal self-swab test. There is no charge to the person being tested, but insurance information is collected if applicable. You can pre-register online at testdirectly.com/McLean. Here's another front page story, headlined, District 87 Expands Remote Learning. At-home days added near holiday breaks, graduation eased. By Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. To lessen the risk of spreading COVID-19, Bloomington District 87 is extending remote learning to all students around the upcoming holidays. All students will learn from home the week of Thanksgiving, November 23rd and 24th, the week after Thanksgiving, November 30th to December 4th, and the week after winter break, January 5th to 8th. The announcement was made at Wednesday night's school board meeting, where the board also approved less stringent graduation requirements for this year's seniors, and learned enrollment is down this fall. Students who are already 100% remote learners in grades pre-kindergarten to 12 will follow their current schedules. Students with a hybrid schedule will follow their schedules for the remainder of the first semester, other than the week of and after Thanksgiving. The reason we're doing that is simply to reduce the risk, Superintendent Barry Riley told the board in explaining the changed schedule. We feel that we'll have a lot of folks who spend time with family and perhaps extended family that they might not see otherwise. And so obviously, when you do that, the risk goes up, he said. By making those remote learning weeks, Riley said, officials think it provides a greater opportunity to have in-person hybrid classes between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and when school resumed in January. These might not be the last changes. With COVID-19 cases rising in the region, a broader switch to remote learning might be needed. There were 145 COVID deaths statewide announced Wednesday, the highest one-day total since May 27th. The 5,042 hospital patients is also a record mark, topping the number reached in late April. Illinois health officials urged residents to stay home and strictly limit travel and social gatherings over the next 3 weeks. Riley said the district is monitoring staff and student attendance and also communicating with Bloomington Normal Hospitals and the McLean County Health Department. The plan is to begin second semester with hybrid in-person learning on January 11th, with the first in-person day being January 12th. However, much will depend on where we are at that time as far as COVID-19 case numbers, staffing, and hospital capacity. The extension of remote learning is only one impact from the pandemic. The decision to alter graduation requirements also was done in response to the pandemic and the learning disruption it has caused. The school board approved an administration proposal to bring graduation requirements in line with the state's less stringent mandates. The change only applies to current seniors. Under the temporary change, students will need only 16.5 credits rather than 23.5 credits to graduate. That option might not be the best for all. School officials emphasized at an earlier meeting that it is important for students to work with their guidance counselors and ensure the path they take to graduation matches their post-high school plans. For example, this year's seniors will only need 2 units each of social science and science instead of 3, but the college they want to attend might require more. The school board also received a report on fall enrollment, showing a decline of more than 4.5% from 5,323 to 5,080. The decline was attributed to more students opting for homeschooling or transferring to private schools. Riley called this year an anomaly. The district's enrollment is projected to recover to 5,219 in fall 2021, and Riley said the recovery could be even stronger than that. The next story is entitled, Unit 5 Property Tax Hike in Works, by Kelsey Watznauer. Normal. Homeowners in McLean County, Unit 5, would pay more in property taxes for the school district under a proposal the school board reviewed Wednesday, administrators said. The board is considering a proposed tax levy of more than $130 million for taxes payable next year, an increase of 7.85% from this year's levy of $121 million. Board members are expected to vote on the measure December 9th. The proposed levy assumes a 3.16% increase in equalized assessed valuation, EAV, or total taxable value of property in the district, according to documents prepared by the district's chief financial officer, Marty Hickman. The district's tax rate is projected to increase from $5.355 per $100 EAV to $5.638 per $100 EAV. If it does, the owner of a $150,000 home would pay $2,819 for Unit 5's portion of their tax bill, an increase of $141. The Education Fund accounts for the majority of the levy, with $63.4 million. This fund pays teachers' salaries and other operating expenses for the more than 13,000 students in Unit 5. Local property tax revenue contributes about 65.5% of the education fund. State revenue provides just under 20%, federal revenue about 8.3%, and other local revenue sources 6.2%. The final numbers may change once the final extension, the amount of property tax money the district actually receives from the levy after various adjustments, such as legal limits on tax rates, is calculated in the spring. In other business, the board voted to adjust pay for certified substitute teachers working during the pandemic. The measure allows the administration to pay a slightly higher rate during periods in which there are not enough substitutes to cover for staff who are quarantined by COVID-19 protocol. The adjusted rate, normally paid to substitutes working 31 to 60 days, is $95 per day for regular substitutes and $115 per day for Unit 5 retirees, $10 more than the typical rate for those working 1 to 15 days. Administrators will determine prior to the beginning of each pay period whether or not that period will qualify for this COVID increase. As of Tuesday, 75 classroom teachers were out, working remote per COVID protocols, and 44 classroom positions were not filled by a substitute teacher. Superintendent Kristen Weichel said, "The district is dangerously close to not being able to staff all of our buildings, and what that means is we may not be able to keep all of our buildings open if we don't get more subs." Weichel said the use of surge pay may help Unit 5 be more competitive to increase the number of interested substitutes in the district's pool. The Illinois State Board of Education also recently approved the use of classroom supervisors, a new position made to help alleviate the strain brought on by the shortage of certified substitute teachers. More details about how to become a classroom supervisor or Unit 5 substitute can be found on the district website at unit5.org. And another story is entitled, "Four McLean County School Districts Go Back to Remote Learning." Hayworth. A perfect storm led to Hayworth announcing Monday their schools would close to students Tuesday and transition to remote learning Thursday. In addition to an increase in staff members in quarantine for close contact and a shortage of substitute teachers available, we have tripled our number of student positive cases in the last couple of weeks. We were trying to keep up and manage that, and then we received five or six more positive student cases yesterday morning, Superintendent Lisa Taylor said Tuesday. For the district of fewer than 1,000 students, Taylor said they reached a tipping point where they would likely have more students at home than in person, with too few staff members and subs to fill all positions. Honestly, it just felt like we would be doing a disservice to the district to keep it in person at this point, she said. The shift is expected to last for the remainder of the fall semester through December 18th. In conversations with our fellow administrators and public health officials, we really talked about, do we think our situation will be significantly improved after Thanksgiving? And we were not confident that the community spread will be that much less, that the curve has flattened at that time. And we just weren't confident that we were going to be that much improved in a couple of weeks, Taylor said. If the numbers dramatically improve, it's possible Hayworth students could return before the end of the semester. But right now, administrators don't believe that's going to happen. This was not an easy decision to make, and I am pleased that we were able to remain in person as long as we did, Taylor wrote in a letter to district families. I am very appreciative of our staff and families who made this semester more successful than I had imagined. That report on Hayworth is by David Prober. Olympia by Jim Benson. Olympia High School students are learning remotely this week because of a large number of students and staff in quarantine. Superintendent Laura O'Donnell said a positive case reported Friday at the high school put the district over the 15% absence rate that had previously been set as a benchmark to consider a move to remote learning. As of Monday evening, there were 160 students district-wide who were in quarantine, either because of COVID-like symptoms or close contacts with someone testing positive for COVID-19, said O'Donnell. Half of those were high school students. The district has 525 high school students, although 50 opted for remote learning this semester. The district hopes to resume in-person classes Monday, but after another student received a positive test result Tuesday, O'Donnell said, we'll have to wait to see how the rest of the week progresses. There are no staff cases currently, but a couple of staff members are out because they had close contact with someone who tested positive. Parents will be notified by 3 p.m. Friday about whether in-person classes will resume Monday, O'Donnell said. If high school classes remain remote, that could help with staffing at other schools because the high school substitute teacher pool could be used for other buildings, she said. In many student cases, especially at the elementary level, the close contacts involve family members, not necessarily fellow students, she said. The district has been doing extra cleaning since resuming classes. In addition, every time we have a positive case, we follow the student's schedule and do deep cleaning in those places where they've been, said O'Donnell. El Paso Gridley by Jim Benson. El Paso Gridley High School is in the second week of a two-week stint in remote learning after the students in quarantine passed 20%. We had a couple positive cases which led to some students being quarantined. We also had several students quarantined from contact outside of school in different settings, said Superintendent Brian Kurtz. We felt like, as a precautionary measure, it made sense to go remote with the high school for 2 weeks. Kurtz said the quarantines, which follow close contact with positive cases, have been the most challenging issue, not the number of positive cases in the schools. Since the beginning of the school year, some of the district's elementary school classrooms and entire grade levels at El Paso Gridley Junior High have done two-week periods of remote learning. We're just working through those situations, and so far, after their two-week stints, they've been able to come back to in-person, and we've hit the ground running, Kurtz said. Going remote at 20% in quarantine is not a hard, fast rule, but the administration takes into consideration staffing, student schedules, and the potential impact on student learning, Kurtz said. Like many districts in the area, El Paso Gridley has had difficulty finding substitutes for not just classroom teachers, but also custodians and bus drivers. Right now, we have administrators that are going in as second shift custodians, and some of them are driving buses and doing what we need to do to keep school going, Kurtz said. Lexington by Steve Smedley. Lexington High School students returned to in-person classes Tuesday after 4 days of remote learning because of an uptick in cases. Superintendent Paul Dieters said Tuesday, "We had two positive cases in the last week of October. Because of students who had close contact with the positive cases, 79 students were in isolation or quarantine," he said, "which is about half of our high school. All of those 79 students have been cleared to be back in class," he said. Dieters said Tuesday morning there were no current positive cases among staff or students, but we're keeping a very close eye on it. He said, "We've ramped up our cleaning and added to it." Here's an item entitled, "Lincoln Circuit Markers Restored by Illinois Daughters of the American Revolution," by Pantograph staff. Bloomington. Two Pantograph area Lincoln 8th Judicial Trail markers were recently restored by Illinois State Organization National Society Daughters of the American Revolution. The area markers are on the Woodford-McLean and McLean-Logan county lines. The marker inscription says, "Abraham Lincoln traveled this way as he rode the circuit of the 8th Judicial District, 1847 to 1859. The markers were installed between 1921 and 1923 on county lines and at courthouses by the Illinois DAR and its Lincoln Circuit Marking Association. 15 of the original 19 markers still exist today. Lincoln traveled the circuit twice a year in the spring and fall during his time as a circuit lawyer. One focus of the NSDAR is historic preservation, according to State Regent Charla Lucan. The restorations were done by Mike Major, a sculptor and restorationist from Urbana, Ohio, who has done other restoration work for the state DAR. Here are some facts about today in history. Today, November 12th. On November 12th, 1948, former Japanese Premier Hideki Tojo and several other World War II Japanese leaders were sentenced to death by a war crimes tribunal. On this date, November 12th, in 1927, Joseph Stalin became the undisputed ruler of the Soviet Union as Leon Trotsky was expelled from the Communist Party. In 1929, Grace Kelly, the future movie star and Princess of Monaco, was born in Philadelphia. In 1942, the World War II naval battle of Guadalcanal began. The Allies ended up winning a major victory over Japanese forces. And in 1977, the city of New Orleans elected its first black mayor, Ernest Dutch Morial, the winner of a runoff. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for November 12th. Please stay tuned.